This morning, what we'll be speaking on is something very important. I want us to pay attention. Matter of fact, the message I want to speak on this morning is something I said I was going to speak on immediately after we finish talking about building spiritual altars. So I talked about the topic. After that, building spiritual altars, that we are going to speak on this message. So, and after the building spiritual altars, we have been talking about other titles, and we have not talked about that particular message. So, many people that have been following us, following our ministry and the messages, some of them signified and said, "Man of God, is that message available? You mentioned it in building spiritual altars, that you are going to talk about it. We are still waiting for it." So, and I've been waiting to get the go ahead in my spirit. And this is the time I've had the go ahead. How many of us here remember what I said we're going to talk about immediately after the building of the spiritual altars? If you remember, let me see your hand up. Okay, I said we're going to talk about activities of the altar. Activities of the altar. So that's the word, that is the utterance God is bringing for us this month. I want us to pay attention because of some reasons. The reason why I want us to pay attention and receive this word into our hearts and spirits, it's because I do not believe that any one of us here wants to be ordinary in life. And I do not believe that any one of us here wants to be a mediocre in life. Myself, I have chosen not to be a mediocre, and I cannot be a mediocre in life. So, for those of us that have visions of going far with God, doing greater things with God, and those of us that have visions of not being under the mercies of our enemies, we need to take this utterance very serious. Activities of the altar. This is a message the Lord is sending to preserve a generation. It's a message the Lord is bringing to us to preserve our destinies. For those of us that are looking into matters of destiny as touching marriage, careers, and all of that, this message is also a security that can guide and navigate us properly. So that's why it's not to be taken for granted. Every altar has an activity, and that's what we're talking about. For you to get it right in marriage, in ministry, in career, in destiny. This is the type of message. This is not a motivational word. This is a third dimension word that is not for the flesh, which is at the first dimension, the soul being at the second dimension, but the spirit being at the third dimension. This is the word for the spirit man. And God dwells in the spirit of the man. So that's why I want us to receive it with our hearts. I told us to go to 1 Kings chapter 18. Let's look at something there. The place of the altar, I've said before, the altar is a place of meeting with God. The altar is the place of meeting with God. It's not only us as children of God that have altars. Children of the devil, they likewise have their altars too. Witches have their altars. Wizards have their altars. Necromancers, diviners. So everyone that prospers in spiritual matter has an altar and is sponsored by an altar. So that's the reason why we need to take this very seriously. 1 Kings chapter 18. So many things happened there. Elijah was to call down fire. in a contest with the prophets of Baal. They wanted to see whose God will answer, whose God will send a voice. So, the prophets of Baal, they built their own altar. And afterwards, Elijah built his own altar. So, the implication of the prophets of Baal building their altar is to tell us that Baal worshippers and worshippers of the devil, they have altars. So the channel by which deity was to respond to humanity was through the channel of the altar. That is why the prophets of Baal, they were working on the altar while Elijah was watching. Look at 1 Kings 18:30. I want to read something. If you want to get this very properly, you go through verses 1 to the end. You understand properly. But I want to read verses 30. The Bible said, and Elijah said unto, or rather, I read from verse 26 first of all. Look at something in verse 26. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even till noon. The prophets of Baal, they were calling the name of Baal. You know, the implication of calling the name of Baal is just like saying they were praying. You know, worshippers of the devil, they likewise pray. I've heard of one occult grandmaster in Yoruba land, Nigeria, that did a fast for 90 days, drinking only akamu. He was not eating food. They asked him, why are you on this fast? He said there was a meeting in hell and they need to gather power for the kingdom of darkness. That's why they declared fasting for all of them. So this is a modern day worshipper of Baal. And he raised an altar and was making sacrifices on the altar. Now look at that verse 26 again. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name Baal from morning till evening, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they lived upon the altar which was made. Before the service, while I was in the office, I was meditating on this text while I was praying. Rather, when the service started. And the Lord began to tell me that they were expecting the voice of Baal from the altar. One thing we have not known from this scripture is the fact that before this time, Baal used to give them a voice. Baal used to give the prophets of Baal a voice when they make oblations. If you think the Baal they were worshipping was not doing miracles for them, why do you think the magicians of Pharaoh had power to turn rod to serpent? Are you getting? So a deity, a spirit is involved. Why do you think Moses will turn the river Nile to blood? The prophets of Baal, the magicians of Pharaoh will do the same miracle. Most things Moses will do, they will counter it. Because these guys had an altar, and the altar was giving them a voice by reason of the sacrifice they made on the altar. Now look at verse 26 again, the middle of that. They were saying, O Baal, hear us, but there was no voice. You know, for that day, God suspended the voice of Baal, so that there will be no competition at all. There will be no rivalry. Baal may have been speaking before that day, but on that day, God said, Baal, you are going on holiday, you will not talk. God silenced the voice. The entity that will manifest as Baal will be one of those fallen angels, one of those principalities that will want to keep humanity under the spell of darkness. So that day there was no voice. So these people were amazed. They were amazed. Look at verse 27. It came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a God. Are you seeing? A small letter G. Is a God. The psalmist said, it is he that stands in a congregation of the mighty and judges amongst the gods. all those entities and all of that. God is the judge amongst all. He is the father of all spirits. He's the father of all spirits. So that day he declared it a holiday for Baal. Either he is talking or he's pursuing or he's in a journey. Elijah was mocking them. Or peradventure he is sleeping and must be awaked. So Elijah was telling them, Baal is sleeping, oh, go and wake him up. But that was the truth. God put Baal to sleep. God put Baal to sleep. Look at 28. One of the reasons why they did not stop immediately is because they know that they have gotten results in this thing before time, before that day. So they went ahead, look at 28, and they cried aloud, and they were cutting themselves after their manner with knives and lancets. See, the blood gushed out upon them. You know, sacrifice has stages. There is a religion today, I don't want to mention their name, that they carry their existing, they will do every year, they will carry knife. They'll be cutting themselves for blood to come out. Huh? It's a religion today. After Christianity is the next. That is ancient Baal worship. That's how it is Baal that is operating there. Islam. It is Baal. They were cutting themselves. They were cutting themselves. Blood was gushing. Look at 29. And it came to pass, when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, and there was no voice. There was no voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. So there are many things the Lord began to communicate to me here. There are activities in the altar. Are you seeing that when they called Baal and Baal refused to answer, they went into another dimension? Huh? And the dimension they went into was sacrifice. They began to spill their own blood. But Baal was still asleep. Baal was still asleep. Look at 30 to 32. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Are you seeing these guys? They had an altar they repaired. Huh? The prophets of Baal had an altar they repaired. In verse 26, you see that they lived upon their altar which they made. Now Elijah on his own repaired the altar of Yahweh that was broken down. The fire would never have come down if Elijah had not first of all repaired the altar. So the fire will never fall down for us if there is no repairing of the altar. There must be a repairing of the altar first. Because when the fire is coming, the fire is not misdirected. The fire has a direction. It's coming to fall upon the altar. The fire is coming for the altar. So for the fire not to miss location, the altar must be repaired. Elijah repaired the altar that was broken down. You know, the altar was broken down because of idol worship in the land. Idol worship. There is something Israel was doing in that generation. I forgot that name. That thing, they intertwined the name of Yahweh with Baal together. They mixed the name of God and Baal together. Somebody can answer the name of God and bow together. So they were worshipping anything worshipable. So the repairing of the altar is a mark of repentance. Wherein Israel had broken down the altar. Look at 31. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. God began to pass a message to me via this verse 31. Everybody look up. You remember when we talked about priesthood and sacrifices? We talked about an ephod breastplate having how many stones? 12 stones. And I said those 12 stones represent every tribe of Israel. So the high priest must put on those 12 stones, that breastplate with the 12 stones as he enters the holy place, the holy of holies. That is to say, is an act of intercession for all the tribes of Israel. Each stone represents a tribe. In that psalm of priesthood and sacrifices, the text we use there, you will see that the picture of those stones. Now, God began to tell me that one of the activities of the altar that cannot be denied is intercession. Intercession. The first thing Elijah took was 12 stones. Look at verse 31. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. All the sons of Jacob, the 12 of them. Elijah took each stone to represent one of them. So, and God knows that this is just like the high priest putting on the ephod breastplate of intercession. So Elijah made an intercession here prophetically for Israel. That is to tell us that many of us cannot operate with the altar if we are not giving to intercession. If you are not giving to intercession, you will not last at the altar. You will not last at the altar of prayer. If you are the type that the only thing you know to pray is just for yourself, you wouldn't be lasting in prayer. But when you know how to put on the ephod breastplate of intercession for all the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel for you, can be your family, can be your loved ones, your nation, the body of Christ, the sick, the afflicted. You begin to number everything you have seen around you that is not orderly. Those are the 12 tribes. You begin to intercede for them. That's a major activity of the altar. Look at 32. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of sea. With these 12 stones he built the altar. You build an altar with intercession. With intercession. With intercession. I remember some years back when my father was, that was when I just got born again. My father was at a rig, because my father then was working in at the rig, an oil company. So there was this rig in Bayelsa State, either Kolokuma or so, that burnt, that caught fire. A rig that caught fire. And one of the, and those rigs, if any of them catches fire, the fire can burn for 100 years. If they don't put it out, there's a way they put it out, because it is burning through the oil from the ground. So that day I was just interceding on a Sunday. I was praying. All of a sudden the Lord showed me a revelation, and I saw my father coming out of a place and fire had burnt him. I began to pray immediately. I began to pray against any fire disaster. As I was praying, the following day one of my uncles called, and he told us that my father called him, that the rig they were at caught fire. That the white man that even brought them out, the fire killed him. My father's phone, all his documents, burnt at that rig. That rig is not less than $1 billion. I think that was a Chevron rig, yes. The man that brought my father them out of that rig, the man died in that fire. So the Lord began to tell me that why he brought that picture to me. If I had not raised intercession for my father, he would have died. You see why Elijah took the 12 stones. He took the 12 stones representing each tribe of Israel. So an altar without intercession cannot be honored by God. A prayer life, no matter how strong it is, that bears no effort, breastplate of intercession, has no value. And God will not even honor that prayer life. Intercession cannot be negotiated. Intercession to bear the burdens of others. The Bible said, blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy. That's to say, in the act of intercession, you are proclaiming mercies extended to others. And you likewise will obtain mercy. The way we are built, we have this soulish life that wants to be all about ourselves. That's the natural man. So we have this less tendency of interceding. So by any time we can subdue that old man and begin to bear the effort breastplate of intercession for the 12 tribes, a transformation will come. The Bible said Job had lingered in his burdens for many years. He said, and when he had started praying for his friends, are we familiar with that scripture? At that point, God turned the story of Job around. Go and look for that in the Bible. It was when Job learned the art of intercession, because Job was living the I life. I in the Greek word is ego. He was living the self life. You know, Lord, you know, I am righteous. I am this, I am that. But the time he began to bear the burden of his friends, God turned the story around. So we want to learn from Elijah. Why we need to learn from Elijah is that a man that can that can communicate with God and fire, force from heaven, literal fire. It's not this magic your prophets are doing inside their cathedral, doing those magic. That one is not God at all. That their God will come and the fire is coming to burn his little paper. That's nonsense. The fire was real from the heavens. The whole Israel saw it. Real fire. So if a man like that can call fire, we need to learn the process. We don't need to say we are looking for that Elijah that caught fire. No. Look for the process he passed through. The process that brought the fire. If we can work on that principle, the fire will fall. We are talking about the activities of the altar. Let's read 33 down of that 1 Kings 18. I'm reading 33 to 38. I will end there, then I continue. And Elijah put wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Excuse me, why will Elijah say fill the barrels with water? That's a question. Why will Elijah say fill the barrels with water? Have you not seen 1 Kings 17 that Elijah said, according to my word, there shall be no rain nor dew these 3 years? For 3 years, there was no rain in Israel. So water was a scarce commodity. Even kings were looking for water. Are you seeing? People were looking for, there was a famine of water. But Elijah, that altar, he said, fill the barrels with water. Fill the barrels with water. He said, pour it on the burnt sacrifice. Pour water on the sacrifice and on the wood. Look at 34. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. The Lord began to tell me that those of us that operate spiritual altars must learn the art of sacrifice. You know, the water cost Elijah something. Water was expensive. Water was even more valuable than gold because there was no rain 3.5 years. If you want to value water, let rain not fall in Nigeria for 1 year. You begin to value what they call water. You begin to know that water is more expensive than gold and silver. I've spoken with some people in some part of Southern Africa, that especially some part of Botswana, that they don't have rain, that there are some years they won't have rain like this, and water will be something else. So look for water. Water will be expensive. So this was an act of sacrifice. God said, for those of us that want our altar to, you know the contention here was whose altar will give a voice. The altar of Baal, the voice was silenced for that day. Elijah said accurately that Baal was sleeping. So they were looking for a voice. So one of the things to attract the voice at the altar is sacrifice. That is why those prophets of Baal, they were cutting themselves and they were bleeding. That was sacrifice. And the water ran about the altar and he filled the trench also with water. I want us to know that the process Elijah took here is a sure principle. When we raise altars to God and there is intercession at the altar, there is sacrifice, a sacrificial life unto God. That altar will carry a voice, a strong voice. Before I read the remaining of this 1 Kings 35 to 38, I want to delve into other things. Altars were constructed for either God or for gods or for idols. Exodus chapter 20 verse 24. Let's look at that. Let me show something in Exodus 20 verse 24. Something very important. Exodus 20, 24. The Bible said, "An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me." This is God speaking. "And you will sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings." So any altar without sacrifice is not an altar. It has no voice. If you have an altar for a deity and you are not sacrificing your life and your time and resources for that deity, the deity will not honor you. If you have an altar you have raised to God, a prayer altar, and on that altar you don't have a sacrificial life of service to God, a sacrificial life of giving to God, a sacrificial life of living for God, your altar will be voiceless. It will be paralyzed. A serious matter. Exodus 20:24. "An altar of earth shall thou make unto me, and I and shall sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and the peace offerings, thy sheep, thine oxen, in all the places where I record my name, I will come unto thee and I will bless thee." The Lord began to tell me that the altar is made for sacrifices. And the altar is a rendezvous point for meeting with the blessings of God. Look at what God says. "I will record my name at the altar. I will come unto thee and I will bless thee there." So for those of us that are looking for the true blessings of the Father, the true blessings of heaven, the blessings are got. They are gotten at the place of the altar. They are gotten at the place of the altar. You have an altar you have raised for God, an altar of prayer, and you are consistent in it, and you are raising intercessions for people at that altar. You are living a life, a crucified life for the Lord, sacrificing to the Lord your time, sacrificing to the Lord your resources. I tell you the truth, at that altar, dear, the Lord will come record his name and bless you. That is the word of the Lord. Something happened in 1 Samuel 7 to 11. Let me show you that. Those of us that are listening to our GAG sermons from God's Army Global, we have a culture of searching the scriptures. Jesus says, "Search the scriptures, for in them you have eternal life." 1 Samuel 7 to 11. I want to show you something very important. When the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. Israel became afraid of their enemies. And the children of Israel said unto Samuel, "Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines." How was God going to save them from the hands of their enemies? Look at verse 8. "And the children of Israel said unto Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines." See what Samuel did. "And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord." That's at the altar. "And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him." Are you seeing? "And the Lord heard him." Now see what happened in 10 and 11. "And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. The Philistines did not know that the battle strategy had changed, that Israel had raised a living altar unto Yahweh. They thought Israel was still the altarless Israel. But now an altar has been raised. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. Look at what the scripture says. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines, and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. You know, God said to me that one of the ways for our enemies to be smitten before Him is not for us to just gather once a week and shout fire, fire, and go away. No. It is for us to have a consistent altar of meeting with Him. Are you getting me? And as that altar is placed, as that meeting placed is fixed, there is consistency. This was a secret. Samuel did that. As Samuel raised an altar to the Lord, the Philistines came, and the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines, and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. For those of us that have altars of consistency, of a truth, you should be aware and know that not long from now, the Lord will subdue your enemies underfoot. That is the word of the Lord. It wouldn't take long. And the Lord subdued the Philistines before them, and they were smitten. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethel. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto had the Lord helped us." Ebenezer. He said, "Hitherto had the Lord helped us." You see, the helping God gave to Samuel for Israel, Samuel called it Ebenezer. That's the first place the word Ebenezer is mentioned in the Bible. But the Ebenezer did not come by accident. The help of God did not come by chance. There was something that triggered it. There was something that instigated it. That was the altar. Samuel said, "Hitherto the Lord has helped us." The Lord helped him when he had done the right thing. So God began to tell me as I was going through this that Israel was avenged because of the altar Samuel raised to the Lord and offered sacrifice. That we are going to be having perpetual defeats by the enemy if we don't raise a consistent altar of meeting with Him, an altar of fellowship. But for those of us that already have an altar of fellowship and consistency with God, that things are looking as though it's not how it should be, there is a sure beam of light ahead of you, showing the fact that Ebenezer will show up. Ebenezer will show up. Ebenezer will show up, and help is on the way. There are many types of sacrifices on the altar. I mentioned it in one of the messages. I think either priesthood and sacrifices, or the activities of the altar, or one of our recent messages. But there are many activities at the altar. The altar is a place of fellowship. Hear me well? The altar is a meeting place of fellowship with God. It's at the altar you have fellowship with God, that you can commune with Him as a friend, as a father, and as your creator. The altar is a place of fellowship. The altar is a place where covenants are made. Many patriarchs of old, they struck covenants with God at the altar. Say, "Lord, as you do this for me, this is what I will do for you." And God, being a covenant keeping God, He honored His part of the covenant. The altar is a place, is a meeting place where you can have covenant with God. The altar is a place where blood is shed and libations are made. The blood that is to be shed in our spiritual altar is not the blood of bulls and rams. Any of you that is doing that, you are on your own. The sacrifices of bulls and rams, God does not accept it again. There's one brother that normally fellowship with us. Whether I will say before, I think they said he came here last Sunday and he wore this cherubim and seraphim regalia. He was looking like a cherubim priest. Cross at the front, cross at the back. And people were watching at him as a strange man. You know, where that one has gotten, you know that the devil has corner-sided him. And he has gone astray. And in the course of that, such a one will begin to involve in animal sacrifices. Not knowing that you are invoking demons. You are opening spiritual gates that may not be closed until your generation passes. Other generations will come out from your loins and be suffering those gates you had to open for those demons. Some of these people that go to the river and do rituals, they will say they will use a rooster. You know what they call a rooster? A hen or whatever. They will tie it, they will move it around your head 7 times. Bafia the river and throw the hen inside it. All those things, you are entering initiation. Initiation. Waking up demons that are sleeping. And when they start tormenting, making useless your children and your bloodline, you will say the devil has come. Where you are the one that woke him up. I thank God I spoke to the young man as much as I could. I've spoken to him in the past for many years now, and I've seen that he's hard. So I've left him to the Lord. The Bible said, Paul said that Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. So there are many Demases in our time. So what I'm saying, the place of the altar is a place of blood and libations. Blood and libations in the sense that you are not making sacrifices of blood. The sacrifice of blood you are using is that you are connecting with the blood of the Christ on the cross of Calvary. You are connecting with the blood of Jesus, which gives you entrance and passage into the holiest. The libations you are making at the altar and sacrifices, they are in the place of those praises, those worship songs you are lifting to God and singing. It's going like a libation. I've told you many of these chief priests in ancient times, even till now, they still do it. These witch doctors, when they want to make a sacrifice, they pour libation on the ground to stir up the spirit of their idols. So our own, the type we do, is that when we begin to lift up oblations of worship, oblations of praises to God, that's our own libation. The altar is a place where food is offered to deity. When we are worshiping God and singing praises and giving him thanks, we are giving him the right spiritual food that he honors. The altar is that place of worship. It's a place where we come and worship the Lord with our heart, spirit, soul, and body. The altar is a place of communication. These are the activities of the altar. There is communication at the altar. There is communication at the altar. You communicate with God. You tell God what has been going on in your life. You tell the Lord the ones you don't like, the ones you like, the ones you need. You begin to tell God with openness of heart. When you are praying, don't pray like a robot. God is your heavenly Father. He wants you to speak to him just as it is. He said, no longer call I thee servant, but from hence I call you friends, because a servant does not know what the master doeth, but the friend knows. The altar is a place of communication. It's a place where you tell God, oh, my Father, the enemies have beseeched me round about. David gave that psalm in Psalm 3. He said, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for me in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, the lifter up of my head. You know, it went on and on. David was making the communication at the place of the altar. And God will begin to hear the voice of his son and begin to make plans on how to stop the besiegement of the enemy. How to stop the bombardment the enemy is sending to his son. So the altar is a place of communication. It's the first place you go to tell God that your boss at the office has been treating you very bad. It's the first place you go to tell God that you are in need of so and so. When you are in need, you don't run to man first. You run to God first at the altar. Many of us make mistakes of running to man first. It's after we have talked to countless men, we will now go to God and say, Lord, you know, God wouldn't feel honored. The altar is a place of communication. As it happens, you speak to God. You tell him this is what has happened before you begin to talk to men. That's one thing many of us hearing me are lacking. You talk to God first before man. There are some kings in Israel that sought the help of Gentiles, and because of that, God rejected them. So God seeks God desires us to first seek his hand before any other thing. He says some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we have trusted in the name of our Lord. There are many activities at the altar. The altar is a place where evil works are destroyed. The altar is a place where evil works are destroyed. Something happened during the week. I want us to pay attention. Something happened during the week, precisely on Wednesday, this week. I felt in my spirit that I should not take any food, so I didn't take any food for over 24 hours. Then I lay down, and the Lord showed me a revelation. That revelation God showed me, it has given me a principle of life, and it has taught me an eternal lesson that I want to communicate with us. The Spirit of the Lord, I didn't just say I wanted to fast, but the Spirit of the Lord just moved me, so I didn't take any food 24 hours. So, and I felt a need to lie down. I lay down, and I was expecting an encounter. So as I lay down, I had a vision. In that vision, I saw my little boy, Gabriel. I saw demons entered my house. There were about 10 of them. As they all entered, they rushed and entered inside the boy in that vision. As they entered inside the boy, my wife was shouting, so I grabbed the boy. As I grabbed him, I began to breathe inside his nostrils, and I was commanding all those entities to leave in the name of Jesus. All of them to leave. As I was doing that, they began to leave, and all of them emptied out of the boy. So when I came out of that vision, I woke my wife up. I told her what happened. I said, this is the revelation I had. And the Lord began to speak to me expressly. See what God said to me. That what happened to my boy is what has happened to many children from their, is it infanthood they call it? From that early, that stage the child is, there are stages children are that is very sensitive. Even though the person is a pastor, a bishop, or whatever, if the child is not watched over, there can be a demonic invasion. And when those demons invade and there is no watching in the spirit, it gets to a time that the child will reach a particular age that the character, in fact, you even do 21 days vigil, nothing is happening. The child will be acting demon possessed. The primary school I went to was owned by one known bishop in Nigeria, the second in command of that church. Their daughter was my classmate. We were in primary 3, and one day, the daughter of that bishop was caught with one little boy at the toilet. They were having sex, primary 3, from that early stage. So what God began to tell me is that because I expose my son to the altar, when we want to have our devotions in the morning, we'll bring him out, we pray, after praying every day, I lay hand on him. That because of that, there will be a type of barricade. But if something is not watched over, some principal demons will come from oh my God, I don't want to get into that. But there are some entities that will come to possess that child from that little age and corrupt the original plan of God over the child. And before you know, from 10 years, I had a friend, very close friend in primary school, we were in primary 4, he had started smoking cigarettes. From just one, he had started smoking marijuana. This guy became very notorious in the area. Very notorious. So from that stage, if the child is not watched over spiritually, another entity takes over the child. And when he's looking late, that's when the parents will start crying. Say, I don't know anything, they do my picking or this and that. Not knowing that that child was invaded a long time ago. That demonic invasion can be done, can be projected by an enemy, that is a human enemy using evil spirits, or it can just be instigated by the kingdom of darkness itself in order to hinder you, knowing that the child coming out with a nasty character, an infamous character, the child coming out like that, it can disturb your ministry, it can disturb your work with God. So after that, as I came out of that vision, as I spoke to my wife and told her what God told me, that this thing could have resulted in the exchange of our son's destiny. As I told my wife that, I carried my son, I laid hands on him. I began to pray for him. The Lord said I should anoint his head. As I was anointing his head, the Lord said I should read Psalm 23. As I started reciting Psalm 23, that was the first time in my life I could not recite Psalm 23. I tried first time, I missed it. Second time I missed it. Third time I missed it. I told my wife, bring Bible. I started reading Psalm 23 on his head. I knew that there was a high-tech manipulation. My wife was looking at me, you can't recite Psalm 23 again. I'm telling you, I tried 3 times, I was missing. I just carried the Bible. I said, finished reading it, anointed his head, he was shouting. That day, 12 midnight, what happened to my soul? He has never shouted like that since he was born. I don't know if you heard the shout that night, or you didn't hear it. That night, what my son was shouting, my mother-in-law had to come from her room. They came home, she came, where now it was like something invaded him. So I now told my wife that nothing really happened, that it was that thing that would have happened, that was just aborted. So as they came, there is a covering. I don't know if you understand me. So the Bible said, train up the child in the way you should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The training of the child is beyond giving him lessons, mental lessons. The training also involves watching spiritually, because when demons invade that child and the child start acting like a madman from childhood, you are the one to suffer it. So God began to say to me that in the activities of the altar, it is a place to destroy works of darkness. It's a place to destroy works of darkness. My other brother himself, our first son, right from when he was small, he started acting strange. They called him the black sheep of the family. He started acting strange because he had demonic invasions from childhood. And when he grew up not helping himself, he became worse. So there are demonic invasions happening here and there. For Jesus to say to Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to sift you as a wheat. He said, but I have prayed for you, and when you are converted, strengthen thy brethren. Imagine, at that point, Satan had already entered. Because Jesus said, when you are converted, meaning that he has been diverted. When you are converted, strengthen your brethren. He said, as Judas dipped his hand on the sword, Satan entered into him. Demons are entering people. Satan entered those ones because those ones were working directly with Jesus. So Satan wanted to do the job himself, to do a neat job. And he did a neat job on Judas. But Peter's own, because of the prayer of Jesus, Jesus having a lively altar, he diverted it. So when we have children like this, you don't even submit them to the altar. In the future, now you go cry. It's not somewhere that, in fact, you not only will cry, even your nation too will cry. By the time the church start troubling the nation, people like Edinog and some of these notorious men that disturb Nigeria, not only their parents cry, people were suffering because those guys were invaded and nobody watched. So the altar is a place to stop activities of darkness. You don't know the summons that was done in the kingdom of darkness against your marriage. You don't know the summons that was done in the kingdom of darkness against your future to keep you going, and at the end, nothing. And yet, there is no contention at the altar. After that, as I anointed my boy, that midnight, as he shouted, God just permitted that thing to happen to give me a confirmation. My wife said, this boy has never cried like this. So the cry was something else. His whole body was shaking. He was shouting and shouting. I said, nothing is happening. The Lord is just showing that this is what would have happened. And before then, my wife also had a likewise revelation of a masquerade coming to match the child. Are you getting it? So what I'm saying is that when we are operating without spiritual altars, we will be at the mercy of the enemy. It's dangerous. The altar is a place to destroy evil works. To destroy evil works. To destroy evil works. The prophets of Baal, they call to Baal day and night. Did you see that? In this part of the world, there are people that Satan enters privately and personally to be a hindrance to what God has called you for. That day and night, they are ready to be making oblations against you. Pouring curses. Imagine Balak going to hire Balaam to help him curse Israel. Imagine a man going to hire a man to curse a nation. So there are people that are being hired to curse the children of God. There are people that have been hired to curse you because they know what is going to come out of you. And when those curses are pouring like a rain, there is no confrontation of those things through your own altar, there will be problem. There will be serious problem. One of the reasons why I will look at many things around me, I will not even bother, is because I know that one of that altar, I don't take it for granted. I will have my personal times daily where I will just leave the house, leave everybody, go to a private place and be praying and shouting. People will be looking at me as a madman. I know what I am trying to connect with. I know what God has called me for. I know what I am pursuing. I know that I'm not just called to stand in the queue, my generation, but to stand in the front line to echo the mind of God. So knowing that demons will not be happy, so I need to raise. There is this thing they call balance of terror in international relations. Balance of terror. If your country has ICBM, an intercontinental ballistic missile, my country too has an ICBM, your country will be applying what they call deterrent. That will be a deterrent. That is to say, it will deter this country from attacking this one. America and Russia cannot go to a fight, because if the two nations fight, the entire world, the entire nations will crumble. Those are two elephants. Last time I checked, Russia had about 9,000 and something nuclear warheads. United States has about 8,000 and something nuclear warheads. If they release only 5 nuclear warheads, Africa will be no more. And now if America wants to hit Russia, and they know that Russia retaliating, they will relax. So there is this theme called deterrence in the realm of the spirit. When you are operating an altar, your enemies will mind their business, because they will not want to touch, because they know there is fire burning at the altar. There are activities at the altar. The altar is a place to turn curses to blessings. Look at Genesis 8:20-21. If you are seated here listening to this message, I will still implore you, after the meeting, you get this message and listen to it again, because you are listening to me but you have not heard the message yet. Genesis 8, 20 to 21. I said, the altar is a place to turn curses to blessings. Jabez turned his curses to blessings at the altar. Genesis 8, 20 to 21. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled the sweet savour. The altar will come as a sweet savour, the sacrifices on the altar. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. The last time I checked, many of us still believe that the earth has been cursed for man's sake. But here God said, I will no more curse the ground for man's sake. So the ban has been lifted. Huh? The ban, I heard Nigeria close their borders, so that people will not bring in goods or take out goods. So that could be like a ban. So if there is anything like this, God is saying, if there is anything like the ground being cursed, the ban has been lifted. He said, I will not curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore every living thing as I have done. What curse is not unto blessings here? Yeah? As a result of Noah building an altar. The altar is a place to incur generational blessings. There are some things you do and you incur curses. For an example, your blood sister, you are going to sleep with your own sister. I've seen a case like that, the brother sleeping with his blood sister. You are incurring not just curses, you are incurring transgenerational curses for yourself. You are depositing for your generations to come to you, Jesus starts. You are going to sleep with mankind, sodomy, homosexualism and all of that. You are incurring curses. There are some things you do that is just beyond sin. There is sin, and I've told us there is one they call iniquity. Those two, they are in different dimensions. Sin and iniquity. Ha. I don't want to talk about that. What I'm saying now is that there are some things you do, you incur curses. And there are some things you do, you incur blessings. The altar is a place to incur the blessings of God. It's a place to incur family blessings. Noah built the altar, and God said, no more is the ground cursed. That in Adam did. And I cursed the ground because of Noah. I've lifted up that bar. But do you know the ground will still be cursed for others who have not activated that covenant Noah entered? That's a message for another day. Altars are places to turn curses to blessings. That's one of the activities of the altar. There is conversion going on in the altar. Curses are turned to blessings. Where spells are made against your marriage, made against your destiny. You don't know territorial princes and demons enchant against marriages. They may not even know you. But they will just call the demon in charge of so-so region so-so-so in Abuja, Nigeria. They will say, everybody living under this region, we are pouring this, we are cursing your marriages, cursing your this, cursing that. You don't even know the demons, but they are cursing you. But as a result of your transaction at the altar, those curses, as they are pouring it, it will be turning to blessings. He said, for the curses, I give you blessings. Curses turn to blessings at the altar. The altar is a place of separation where we separate ourselves to God. And we separate ourselves from curses and generational limitations. It's a place we separate ourselves from curses and generational limitations. Beloved of God, beyond coming to the church, beyond carrying the Bible, let us have a personal altar with God. When I'm talking of an altar, I don't mean going to build something. No. It's a meeting place. A meeting time with God.
You may decide a particular location in your house. You may decide it's your room. You may decide it's a field or somewhere where you just go and have time to talk to God. It's a time where you are consistent. The altar is beyond a place. It is just beyond a physical location. It is that you have this tendency to always meet with God at every point. You wake up in the morning, you meet with the Lord. Talk to Him about the day. The enchantment done against you, which you never even knew, all those things will be turned into blessings. Because of our time, we're going to stop here. But every genuine child of God must have a personal prayer altar. And every genuine Christian family must have a corporate altar as a lifestyle. Every family must have a corporate altar. And every genuine Christian must have a personal altar. By this, we will have an advantage over the enemy. This is what gives us an advantage. Let's rise up on our feet. Rise up on your feet. One of the prayer points you are going to pray is you are going to ask the Lord to make you active at the altar. Many of us have been inactive. I want to read one thing while we are praying. 1 Kings 18. 36 to 38. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elias, the prophet, came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. When you do all these things at thy word, you go ahead and say, hear me, O Lord, as Elijah said, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. The fire of God fell upon the sacrifice Elijah made. Elijah made the sacrifice, and the fire of God fell upon the sacrifice. I want you to know that the fire, the sacrifice you're making at the altar, the fire of God will fall on it. You just continue, keep consistent. The fire will soon fall. When the fire falls, transformation has fallen. When the fire falls, breakthrough has fallen. When the fire falls, redemption has fallen. Many encounters at the altar, the meeting place with God. The fire falls at the altar. The fire does not know any other place to fall except at the altar. The fire knows no other place to fall except at the altar. Cornelius, the Bible said of him, your prayers and your almsgiving have become a memorial to God. The almsgiving of Cornelius to the poor, the alms he was giving to the poor, came as a memorial to God. God said, now in my program of salvation, Cornelius will not be left behind. I want him saved. Peter, go and save this man. His almsgiving came as a memorial to God. There are things you do at the altar that comes as a memorial to God. I have never preached, and I don't preach, giving of tithes as a do or die affair. But one of the things I believe in the tithe is that it is like a covenant. You are telling the Lord, I depend on you even with my money. Lord, this is a part of it, a tenth part of it. That is a sacrifice on the altar. It's not easy to do. That makes it a sacrifice. That makes it a sacrifice. Elijah poured the water on the altar. Water was scarce, but Elijah poured it on the altar. Sacrifice. God honors the sacrifice at the altar. God honors the almsgiving. He honors the prayer. He honors the worship you sing. He honors the songs you sing to Him. Go ahead and say, Lord, make my altar lively. If I were you, I will cry to God. Because your future depends on the altar. Your blessing depends on the altar. The altar is the meeting place of the blessing. The altar is the meeting place of the blessing. The altar is the meeting place of the blessing. The altar is the meeting place of the blessing. Say, Lord, make my altar lively. Make my altar lively. In Akabusia Teliasa. Hear me, my friends. If you are not married, and if you don't have a lively altar, you can mismarry. And when you mismarry, you are finished. When you mismarry, you are finished. If you marry someone that God did not put for you, it is a fatal danger. Fatal danger. That is why you must say, Lord, help me at the altar to get it right. When the altar is right, everything becomes right. I Shangila Sandelia Inigabalari Shekelavaria Shinanano Sidia Kamelai Kilimina Santea Jina da Imanovola Sila Bale Sayaria Emanolio Sanda Emano Kiminius Candelia Emana na 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 Emonus di China Kevinios Candelai Genelia Badadaya Dadaya Dira. Lord, on the activities of the altar, make me active on the altar. Emanesila, Emonovanis, and Ali Cavaletona, and Nana, 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 Make me active on the altar. Make us active on the altar. Resurrect our altars of fellowship, our altars of communion. Diminius dinena anneliele panabanadesha darana. Emmanuel, 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 Emmanuel. And make me active on the altar. Let fire burn on my altar. Somebody say, Lord, send the fire on my altar. The fire of revival, the fire of prayer. Amen, amen. Imini sinela ajeni gili gili biyo kada da 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 da. Emmanuel, imini nini imini ya imene na 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 na. Revival fire on my altar, revival fire, fall on my altar. Somebody go ahead and pray and say, Lord, send your fire on my altar. Let your fire fall again on my altar. The fire of prayer, the fire of fellowship, the fire of revival. Emonus, Emigidia, Nanora, 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 Fire, fall, fire, fall, fire, fall, fire, fall, fire, fall, fire, fall, fire, 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 In Jesus' name I pray. Lift up your hands. The Lord will revive our altar. The believers say amen. Our miracles are at the altar. Therefore, the Lord will revive our altars. Altars of communion with Him. Altars of contact with God. The altar of contact with God. The Lord revives it today. Go ahead and say, Lord, thank you because my altar is revived. Voluntary sacrifice is lost in our generation. We have a generation of pleasure, a generation of self-gratification and entertainment. This is a generation that does not seek after God. But we are vowed to be that generation that Jacob said, this is the generation that seek thee, that seek thy face, O Jacob. This is the generation that ascends into the holy hill of the Lord. We are not that generation that seeks after pleasure. We have become that generation that desires the rebuilding of the altar, even as Elias the Tishbite did. We are that generation that will rebuild the altar of the Lord. We are that generation that will rebuild the altar of Yahweh in our town. We are that generation. This is the generation. This is that generation that has forsaken pleasure. This is the generation that has forsaken worldly pleasure. This is the generation that has forsaken self-gratification. But this is the generation that seeks after thee. And we are that generation. We give you.
God, through his servant, Apostle Christian Nwoke, has just delivered to you a message from heaven. Now you are blessed and empowered to lead a victorious life by the power of the risen Christ. Amen.
For your programs, bookings, crusade, and testimonies, message us on WhatsApp with +234 703246 9360. You can follow Apostle Christian Nwoke on Facebook. Download our messages through the following platforms: www.foreshare.com or by messaging us on WhatsApp. You can also get the messages on our Telegram and YouTube channel by searching Apostle Christian Nwoke. Visit our website www.ghsermons.com for more information.
You can also spread the gospel we preach by becoming a kingdom partner with us through your love offerings. Kindly message us on WhatsApp with +234 703 246 9360 to become a partner.
We are God's Army Global, bringing the fullness of God to every man, and taking us numberless as the sand by the seashore to heaven with us, even you.